We're good.
I'm going to call to order a special meeting for the Gilbert Beach City Council on Tuesday, April 26, 2016. Chanel, when you're ready, roll call, please.
Councilmember Bright? Here. Councilmember Newell? Here. Councilmember Shaw? Here. Mayor Protemby?
Here.
Mayor Schultz?
Here. Thank you. Would you all please stand and rise with us and we'll do the pledge? Oh, I think we've got a flag up by the City Attorney, Interim City Manager. So, hands over your heart, please. If you can.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, I'm going to assume everyone can hear okay. I don't know if I'm getting any echo, but we'll work on the acoustics of this building. Let me say thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to come down and have an open dialogue with the City Council. I know many of you probably recall we had a meeting last year in the fall, and we said we would follow up with a second meeting. We didn't do it in the time frame we originally planned, but we're not very far off, but we did want to provide this forum for you to come and get information on some of the actions that the city administration has taken, the results of those actions. We also have folks here from the Arroyo Grande Gilbert Beach Chamber to kind of give a report out. So we want to make sure that we keep tonight's meeting like we did last time. It's not going to be formal. You know, I don't necessarily think anyone needs to go to the podium and me count 3 minutes. We want to keep it an open dialogue. So with that, I'll ask everyone to be respectful of others who might have a comment. And so if we do that, I think we can be much more productive and come up with some positive solutions. So with that, I will quickly introduce some of the staff that are here. Let me start to my far right. Is basically we have City Attorney Martin Kazanowicz. We've got our interim city manager, Jim Copsey. Many of you remember he was our former police chief. We have our current police chief, John Peters. Who's here. I think you all are familiar with the council members. We've got Judith Bean is here from the Arroyo Grande Gilbert Beach Chamber of Commerce. And then I believe in the far back room, we've got Battalion Chief Ricky Heath. Ricky is here, and I think Chief Lieberman will be joining us shortly, correct? Okay, very good. So I think with that, we're going to move forward. Let me turn this over to the city manager. Jim, if you have any comments, and then you want to introduce Chief Peters.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and also members of the council and the community members. I know we've worked a long time with the community and the businesses in trying to address some of these issues. And as the mayor said, this is just a continuation of some of the efforts, and we want to really do our best to try and listen to what you folks say and what's going on within the community. So I don't have a lot to say. I know we've got just we've asked Judith Bean from the chamber to say a few things on what she's kind of been working on, and then the chief has got some information on kind of what we've done and where we're what we're looking at for here. And then I think the mayor will be up to you, but I think we'll open it up and then for you folks to provide input and questions and comments and things like that. So that's kind of it. So at this point,
perfect.
Maybe Ms. Bean, if you want to take a few moments to share. The mic, we've got a handheld if you want it there.
So why don't we do this? Let's let the chief give a presentation first, and then that way you're not on the hook right at the start. Sound good? Because I do want to report out that there were some actions that were taken by the city council, and you know I think there have been some. I'm not going to say everything. You know, there's been some mixed success, some things that we need to improve on, and so I think what I want to do is hear from him first. We've also, like I said, had talked with the chamber, and I think Judith has a report we'd like her to give. So, okay. So, Chief Peters, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see everybody's here tonight, and I appreciate everybody coming in. Please feel free to have a seat anywhere that you need. If we need more chairs, we can get a key here and get some more open. So, again, like the mayor stated, that we were taking some actions, and the council has been very supportive of the police department and the community. allowing us to have additional funding and resources to address issues of concern that the community has brought up to us over the past 18 months, 24 months or so. To give you just a little bit of what we have done in the past, we did enact an ordinance, the Aggressive Panhandling Ordinance. I'm sure that most of you are aware of that in action as well. The council also funded a foot patrol program that was dedicated to the West Grand Avenue corridor and the businesses to specifically address issues of vagrancy activity that may be occurring in those particular areas. Through some grant monies that the police department had, as well as a community member donation, we re-established the bicycle patrol program, and the officers have been getting trained on that, and as more get trained, you'll see the bicycles out more often. The bicycles do allow us to get up and down Grand Avenue and into Ramona Park, into the neighborhoods, and into those areas that are a little bit less accessible directly off of Grand Avenue. In addition to that, we installed a total of 28 video cameras around Grand Avenue from Highway 1 currently all the way up to 13th Street. And these cameras have been very instrumental in, they're watched by our dispatch center, so when there's anything that's going on, the dispatchers have the ability to look at the camera, see what's going on in say the 900 block of Grand Avenue, and direct the officers directly to those problems. The cameras have been very instrumental. They've all been funded by grant monies and not out of the general fund. And they were instrumental in solving some crimes, allowing the police department to go back and use the record options that were going on at the time to detect and see what was happening and find suspects in those crimes. But they've also been a very good deterrent, and I think some of the businesses can probably attest to that, that once the cameras were installed, a lot of the activity, the criminal activity in the stuff that was going on around those areas decreased, and Ramona Park was a prime example of that. We saw that the arrests and the contacts the officers had to make decreased by 60% shortly after the cameras went in. So we've seen some positives with that. That program will be talked about a little bit further and what we will be doing in the future. Additionally, we worked in partnership with the San Luis Obispo County, the state parks, the South County Sanitation, and the City of Grover Beach Public Works Department and the Community Development Department to address the issues that were going on at the transient campsite at south of the train station off of Highway 1. The issues, if you are familiar with that, there was a lot of crime going on down there. There was a lot of activity that was impacting the neighborhoods, impacting the businesses that were there. And there was just a constant calls for service. There was fires that were in the camps that got out of control. There was just a lot of illicit activity. And in fact, on the day we originally planned to do the clean out of that area, there was a stabbing. So there was just a multitude of activity. But that was in conjunction with the city's expansion or planned expansion of the train station. So what was beneficial for us was that there was some funding to help us incur those costs, where the items that were removed, over 9.5 tons of debris were removed, and over about $40,000 to $50,000 was expended as part of the expansion project and what was paid for out of some city funds. In addition to that, we provided the social services resources, developed a flyer, and was able to hand those out. We actually have cards that our officers are carrying, and they're able to hand those out. And we've had some good stories and success stories, like a recent recently one of the officers was able to help a homeless veteran get relocated to San Luis Obispo, get his identifications reestablished, and get him back into services that were beneficial for him. So that was a good success story that we had recently. The foot patrols produced over 200 hours of dedicated patrols to the businesses right on Grand Avenue. Of those 200 hours, the officers on those generated 366 calls for service, which resulted in 19 arrests for various activities, from weapons violations to vagrancy activity. In addition to those foot patrols, the regular patrol officers dedicated a lot of time on Grand Avenue during their normal course of their patrol duties at night and during the day, to the amount that we recorded 2,300 extra patrol checks of businesses on Grand Avenue. And that's when an officer gets out of the car, goes out, looks around a business, walks up onto the upper floors of some of the businesses that we have here off 9th Street and off of Grand Avenue. So the officers are definitely getting out there. We have seen the impacts from those patrols, a decrease in activity that's being reported to the police department. One of the things I do want to point out is in our last meeting, we asked the community to please give us a call anytime you saw any activity going on that was suspicious or that was a violation of law. And I'm pleased to say that the community did. We got a lot more phone calls and a lot more eyes and ears out there that noticed and that notified us of issues that were occurring, and I thank you for that, because without that help, we can only guess where something's going on or go in response to if we see it on the camera. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what we have done and in relation to some of the activities that's been occurring. To give you, as we move forward, you may be asking, well, what are we preparing to do? What are we going to be doing in the future? I can tell you that in the future, the patrols are going to continue. The extra patrols at the businesses are still an agenda that the police department is taking up. I'm sure that everybody is still going to give us a call whenever they see some activity going on. So we will look forward to that partnership. Additionally, there will be an expansion of the community camera program. We'll be expanding 10 additional cameras all the way to Oak Park Boulevard. And that will give us a full coverage of Grand Avenue and the activities occurring to the dispatch center. We will be focusing on vagrancy issues throughout the city to educate and deter those activities from occurring, working in partnerships with the different social service groups, Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and other organizations that could help provide some services or help give us some leeway of where we can send people for the services that they need. Again, the foot patrols will continue. If you're not aware, if you don't follow our Facebook or you didn't see the press release, we do have a cleanup in process right now of the North 4th Street campgrounds or the estuary area that's up there. That is an ongoing process. We'll be there tomorrow as well, cleaning on up the El Camino Real side. And that so far, we just today pulled out over 3 tons of debris from the 4th Street side. And so we will be addressing the remaining debris and issues on the El Camino side. And then we are also, like I said, continuing to work with the slow courts to find a program that's going to help with rehabilitating and treating individuals as well as preparing willing participants to succeed from homelessness and to help take the assistance. And that's been our biggest hurdle so far, is willing participants to make a change. We've gone down prior to the cleanup here and that is going on right now. Since January, our officers went down on 9 separate occasions with social service groups, offering services, offering ways to relocate and improve the situations that several people were in. Some people took those offers, and they made a difference for themselves. Most did not, sadly. But I can say that most were understanding that the situation that they were in, the hazardous conditions that were there in the estuary, the impact that it was making to that environmental area, were not acceptable, and they knew that they were going to need to leave. We did find cooperation each time we went down there. And in fact, they were helping to help bag up some of the trash that was laying around there. And so that that shows that they are, obviously compassionate about the situation they're in, but there's also more work that we can do collectively. So, Mr. Mayor, that's my report. I will turn it back over.
Thank you, Chief. And I do want to amplify That we've tried to do this in a compassionate manner. We understand that these are short-term solutions. We know that this is a social issue that's bigger than just Grover Beach. But we had been approached by residents and business owners and felt that we needed to take some action. Other things that we have done recently from a council standpoint is we recently approved about $180,000 in community block grant fund funding for two organizations, the Five Cities Homeless Coalition as well as Slow Housing Connect, focused on two particular areas, eviction prevention as well as rapid rehousing. And so those are funds that have to be expended, and those programs need to be stood up and working by, I think, September of this year, correct? So we've done that, and then we also are still pushing to have a large meeting between the three cities, the Oceana Community Services District, as well as the county, to discuss long-term solutions. So all of these things go together, and just wanted you all to know that we don't view this just as a law enforcement issue. It's really more of a compassion issue and more of a balanced approach. And so, and that balanced approach means having partners who work with us, because I think many of you know me. I've said many times, government can only do so much. It really takes all of us working together. And so I think with that, I want to transition to Judith Bean, and Judith can kind of give us a report out from the chamber. And then once she's done, we'll see if there's questions, and we'll go out to you all.
Hello, everyone. Well, the Chamber Board of Directors, basically, the position of the Chamber is that we're an information conduit. So we're looking to share information and to help. We're focusing mostly on how the transient population affects business. So we have met with the, we have a governmental affairs committee that meets with city staff on a regular basis to exchange ideas and information and talk about ways that we can help. We have met several times with Jana Nichols of the Five Cities Homeless Coalition and discussed issues with her. We keep our members informed through articles in our newsletter and online postings. We have a very large following in our social media channels. So whenever the chief posts something, the police department, or if there's an issue one of our business members lets us know about, we try and disseminate that information out to our members to be on the lookout for. We have the ability to segment our email database so that we can forward information specifically just to Grover Beach businesses. So we're utilizing that to get out information. And we encourage businesses to let us know about issues at their business so we can share them through those networks. We brought tent cards. This was something that came about through one of the meetings that we had with the city for businesses who would like them. And basically they say not to give handouts to the transients and homeless people, because that's not the best way to help them. We partner those with little cards that we get from Jana's organization that explain what services are available locally to help. So we're encouraging our business folks to not give handouts, but to give a hand up through the services that are already available locally. So we have offered to partner with the city on some signage in the areas that they have cleaned out, and hopefully we'll be working on that in the future. So that's my report.
Thank you, Judith. So I think we have a live mic. Okay, so let me open this up to the community, and if you have a question or you have a comment, please raise your hand, and we have a mic that will be brought to you. So here you go.
I would like to know, I'm homeless, and you mentioned you don't want to give money to people. That's fine. I want to know, what do you plan to do as of today, as of moving me out of my home over there on the behind Motel 6? What am I supposed to do now? I have numerous amount of things that I do for the community and for the people. I have stopped, but all the bullshit about the fires. This is what's happening. The people are arguing amongst one another for nothing, for a bicycle or amount of marijuana that they're purchasing. the dirty deals that's going down, that's how come you have the fire. It's that stop. I'm taking my, I put my feet, I put in the shoes, and I take control of all those little situations that you guys have, as the police have. And I have handled it, and I have taken care of it. I promise you one thing right now. There's nothing that your things, your arrests that you have made, those are minor. That is nothing. There's misdemeanor warrants, that's just a bunch of bull, garbage. It is. These little things that you guys do, that's just a deterrent to me. I feel supposed to be up in a level where I belong. And there is no, I do more good than you guys think that I do bad. I've smacked these kids around that talk back. What it is, they're alcoholics. There's not big major crimes going on here. I can't see it. I've been pulled over 53 times last year. For what? Walking across the street with a basket going across the street. For me, I'm sorry. I can't. I don't like it, and I'm not very happy. Now, as of today, the pain that I go through every day just to survive, just to eat. I'm 62. I don't need this in my life. I want to know. There's probably 34 people that I counted that would not come up, that we help. We would help more, but they have warrants. They're all hiding in the bush. And they want me to come over and ask you, what do you plan to do now with them that you moved out? They want to know.
Thank you for those comments and that question. Chief, you have anything you want to?
Well, I would encourage you to come over to the police department or talk to Commando Lamone, who's standing over, and stick around while we can talk to you afterwards. And I would like to invite Jenna Nichols, if you can assist us and see what we might be able to do for this individual and see what services that we can try to help out with right now.
Thank you, Chief. Is there anyone else?
My name is Kathy Downey, and I live on North 5th Street. The property actually adjoins the area that's being cleaned out today. And I would like to know what measures are being taken to keep them from moving back in or over to the other side of 4th Street, and what measures are being taken to keep them from infiltrating into the neighborhoods. Because we have family that lives down on Rockaway, just a couple of blocks from the train station area, and since that clean out has happened, they've had more vandalism and theft at their own property than they did before.
Thank you for that, Chief.
Yes, what I can tell you, that we can't fence that area off. It's a habitat, and it's in a lot of that area is actually not in our city property, but what we plan on doing is the extra patrols between our department and the State Parks Police Department. We'll go through there and make sure that nobody gets reestablished. If you hear or see anything going on down there, like in the middle of the night or anything, give us a call. We'll send officers down there to investigate and find out what's going on. Again, we have to be vigilant on securing our own neighborhoods, making sure that there's no activities that are suspicious going on within your neighborhoods. I do encourage you to call us anytime if there's anybody that's walking through the neighborhood that is committing criminal activity or being suspicious or looks like they may be committing criminal activity. So it's just constant vigilance between our patrols that are going to be out there and as well as the community notifying us for any suspicious behavior.
Chief, how long do you anticipate extra patrols in the area?
Well, this is something that we're going to be doing for quite a while going forward. It's probably going to be on our agenda until there's a more permanent idea that could be on what we're going to do with that particular location. But it is fairly open down there. There's walking trails as well that the community used to utilize as well.
So I saw earlier that there were some police officers from the city of Pismo Beach in on the other side of 4th Street while the activities were going on. Were they part of the coordinated effort, or was, I think she had asked a question about folks leaving that side and moving into the other area.
Yeah, if they leave this side on the east side of 4th and move over to the west side of 4th, they are still in some of the state parks territory as well as the Pismo Beach Police Department's jurisdiction. So those agencies will continue to work on that area to probably do the same things that we're going to be doing.
Okay, very good. Anyone else?
I'm Stacy Downing, and I also live on North 5th Street and back up to the Bird Sanctuary. I have been one that has called 911 dozens of times, and you guys always respond. I do appreciate that, but oftentimes it's just a drive on 4th Street and not going actually into the sanctuary. I've called for fights between a man and a woman. I've had a man naked behind our house. I've had the fire we called on too, and I appreciate that it's dispensed that you respond on to the call, but that's not going to prevent them when they're in the bird sanctuary just driving on 4th Street in order to keep them out. So I was just wondering if will foot traffic be increased for them to go in the bird sanctuary when I call, because I could almost call every single night. I just don't, because I don't want to be a pest, but it is almost on a nightly basis that they're fighting, that they're at 3 in the morning, they're hammering on their bikes and doing all sorts of things. And we've had to lock our gates. They've taken our water. I mean, it's a real problem for us.
Yes, the officers are encouraged to go out, park the car, go out, and walk through the estuary. I know that they have been doing that at nights on the extra patrols. We also did clear, the Public Works Department did clear an area that we can enter off of Nacimiento, and we can actually bring the trucks, our patrol vehicles, into the area. So that allows us to bring the resources that are in the vehicle right up to the location. Depending on where your house is at, that may be a little difficult to see down, because they can't drive all the way up towards 4th Street, but they can get a good portion inside and then get out from there and be a little bit closer to their vehicle.
Okay. Anyone else?
Hi, my name is David Smallwood. I own a little business between 4th Street and the beach, and wherein lies my problem? They come up to get their Slurpees at the 7-Eleven, and there's some crazy guy on a skateboard that uses his dog like it's a bobsled type of thing, and he's running up and down there. We've got people coming through there on bicycles hitting about Mach 5 coming around the building from Juanita's. If I'm out checking my mail, I got to be real careful. And of course, I've also got a problem. I wanted a nice green area in front of my office, you know, something that made it look nice. But for some reason, a lot of our homeless friends have dogs, and that's where they like to relieve themselves. So it's just become very much a nightmare. But here's the good news. We've got a chief of police and a city council that's conducting an effort. I see effort. I see work in that regard. I see response times are good. I see, and I understand, look, I come from a school of thought that if you give change, nothing will change, but I'm not insensitive to the human condition either. But it's a clash of rights. And they have rights, and business owners have rights, and homeowners have rights. And wherein lies the problem? I just want to say thank you to the city leaders, especially to you, Chief Peters, for keeping the pressure on, because this is not something that's going to go away anytime soon. It's a difficult problem, and we appreciate the work you're doing. And by the way, I've very fortunate to have a property manager that helps me out with this too. That, you know, whenever they come over and steal the front mat off of my door or whatever, I've asked them to just concrete the whole thing. Maybe that'll help. Won't look as nice, but it'll help. But thank you very much for what you're doing.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else? We were any ideas, any suggestions, please feel free. We're going to let some others speak. We'll come back.
My name is Lucas. I live on 10th Street. I've been fortunate. I've had a lot of calls out for the neighborhood drug dealer, and they definitely took care of that problem. I thank you guys for that. One quick suggestion, maybe. Well, first off, a question on the blue lighted cameras. Those are just for kind of surveillance. Are they for traffic tickets as well? And then secondly, if we're going to be putting 10 new ones in, I feel for the ladies here on Fifth Street, because I drive that every morning and I see definitely a lot of people there. Would it be possible maybe just to put another camera in that location so you can monitor, you know, who's going in and who's going out?
Yes, the cameras do not have any traffic aspects to them. They're just a surveillance camera or a viewing camera for our dispatch center. The putting a camera on 5th Street or down on 4th Street logistically right now is not possible with the way the network is built. The camera network is a wireless mesh system, if you could imagine, kind of like a net that is thrown over a certain particular area. We have to run antennas to get up to any higher points away from Grand Avenue, and that's entirely possible with future funding, but it's something that we can't afford to do right now. They do cost about a full pod setup and antenna setup is close to $10,000. So, getting all the way up there would be a little bit more of an expense than what we have currently funded or available in our funding.
Okay. Don't be shy. No? Yeah, absolutely. And then we'll come back to this gentleman right here.
I just wanted to ask another question. When the gentleman behind me mentioned the dogs, you know, I have two dogs that are vaccinated and licensed, and I used to walk them around the neighborhoods, and I don't do that anymore because there are so many dogs with these homeless people, and it scares me. Are they vaccinated? Are they healthy? Are they carrying disease? Or, you know, is this an animal regulation problem or what? It's just, it is kind of a concern when you used to walk the neighborhood and don't anymore. And thank you very much for the cleanup efforts.
Well, I can say that we haven't been aware of any of the vaccination issues or licensing issues, but it is something that in partnership with the San Luis Obispo County Animal Control that we can definitely explore. And working with them, because they handle the animal control responsibilities for us by contract. So what we can do is definitely get them on board and see if they're able to assist us and give us some guidance in that area.
Okay.
Good evening. The newspaper indicated there were 20 people down in the estuary making that their home. If they generated 3 tons of garbage, how did 20 people do that?
Well, I can tell you that there was 20 people down there that we contacted consistently on a continuous basis. So those are the folks that we have identified and were aware of. The area it's not a new area. It's been a homeless encampment for several years. I mean, it's probably about 6 years that I can remember from my time here. So it has been an ongoing long-term problem.
And you found a variety of debris down there, mattresses, wood pallets, and things of that nature. So you're including all of that in that calculation, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've got a hand all the way, two hands all the way in the back.
Sorry, I arrived late. We have a studio performing arts, a dance studio here on the corner, so there's a lot of traffic by there. But I was curious what kind of housing related, what's the word, things might be down the road, or partnerships or nonprofit partnerships or whatever it is. What's the status of kind of a public-private partnership side, and then also like a traditional shelter expanded? Is that going to expand? I guess that those are my general questions.
Okay. And I'm wondering if maybe Jana, and I know I saw Dee come in, you guys have any information you can provide to the first part of this gentleman's question, maybe?
Jana Nichols, Five Cities Homeless Coalition. Well, there are a few affordable housing units being developed. Recently, the county took action to provide home funds for three new developments, none of which will be sufficient to meet the ongoing demand that we have. We have seen increases in rents of about 40% in the last year and a half. We're seeing a number of families who are currently housed who are being evicted, as well as challenges in terms of helping people find new housing. So it is a compounded problem affecting a number of people throughout various economic statuses. We're seeing people who are seniors or fixed income who have housing who are losing their housing. So the challenge, of course, in helping housing for those who are homeless is particularly difficult. There are some rapid rehousing programs out there, predominantly targeted at helping families who recently lost their housing, who have, but for some economic event, lost their housing. And so there are a number of programs for that. Programs for those who are who have been chronically homeless for a long time are very slim. As you know, we don't have a shelter here in South County. We have two shelters in San Luis County and one in Santa Barbara County in Santa Maria. They all are running traditionally quite full. To the degree possible, we try to place people at those shelters from South County when we can. We have a strong partnership, for example, with Good Samaritan Shelter, particularly for folks who are needing medical respite. But the sheltering options are quite slim at the moment. And as has been pointed out, they are all of the shelters that we have in the region are behavior-based in terms of asking folks to be drug and alcohol-free, and they may or may not test for that. So for anyone dealing with drug abuse or alcohol issues, they are not able to stay at the shelters. We have provided detox services for a number of clients who have sought that service, but for those who are battling addiction and are not ready for a detox, it is a challenge. Additionally, I'll say for the sober living homes that we have here in the county, they are all full. A number of new sober living units are coming online, and the county is getting ready to offer another opportunity for folks if they want to operate sober living homes to come online. But currently, those are all full as well.
Thank you, Jana.
I'm losing my voice a little, so I hope you can understand me. It's been a rough few weeks, real busy. Dee Torres, Slow Housing Connection. I've been working with the homeless in the county for over 20 years. And there are some services. There is currently, and Jana kind of hit on a few things, that currently there really is not housing for the people that need it the most. It's just not available. The housing lists through HASLO, through Section 8, are closed. The waiting lists, they're not even taking people on the waiting list. I have people that are sleeping outside that have been on the public housing waiting list since 2007. They're from this community. They're getting Social Security checks because they have disabilities. And the longer they're on the streets and outside, the more that they deteriorate. And their situation gets worse. It's like quicksand. Once somebody falls into homelessness, it is extremely difficult to get out of it. And the longer they're in it, and this isn't just me, this is you know, best practices across the county, country. The longer they're in it, the farther they fall, and the harder it is to get out. I completely empathize with everyone in this room. Like I said, I've lived in this community for well over 27 years, and I've raised my children here. I have three girls. I've worked here. I have a church here, and I understand. I understand that I don't agree that anyone should be living in bushes and in encampments and sanctuaries, but they've got to be somewhere. There's no shelter. The shelters are full. There's two, one in the North County, one in San Luis Obispo. They turn away people every night. Every single one of these people that you see in these parks and these sanctuaries have two things in common. They're all poor, and they are all without a home. Everything else is just like all of us. Some might have an alcohol problem. Many don't. Some have mental illness. Quite a few have mental illness. Almost everyone that I work with that are in the encampments, not just the couch surfing, but the people that are hardcore living outside, have their belongings outside, they are almost to a T, have some sort of physical or mental disability. So when you compound not having a safe place to sleep at night, always being on guard, always looking for somewhere to sleep, where you're going to get your next meal, and try to avoid getting ticketed, it's almost impossible. So I'm just saying, I'm here to empathize. I have a foot in both worlds. I do not think you should have to go through what you're going through with your businesses or in your community with trash or with you know, fights and things like that. But what we're seeing is a product of a you know, this is poverty, basically. These people are poor. There's no one that has that I've met in my 20 some odd years. We might find someone, but I've never met anyone that is not extremely poor and chooses to live outside. I've never seen it. It's an awful choice, and it's a really hard road. So I think my big message and why I wanted to come and why I want to reach out and extend my support to all of you and to the council and to the chief, I want to find a way to come to some solutions, some real solutions. Because what we're doing now is we're, and not just us, California as a whole, the country, we're chasing them from bush to bush. And we say we can't afford to help them with the housing, but we're spending a lot of money on this cycle that we're doing where they are building the encampments, they're moving from bush to bush, law enforcement's getting involved, tickets, the court system's getting involved, they're getting sicker, they're going to the hospitals. Best practices says housing first works. Putting people in housing, as meager as it is, actually ends and breaks the cycle of homelessness. And it's cheaper than what we're doing now. The shelters, the ticketing, the chasing from encampments, it's cheaper. So that's what we're working on with Slow Housing. We're a housing first model. We are partnering with the city of Grover Beach in regards to some of the funding that Janet did mention, some eviction prevention money and some rapid rehousing money. So that will help us to get rental deposits and help to pay rent for this population. But we're going to need everyone's help. We need to find landlords that are willing to take a chance and rent to our clients. Slow Housing puts their stamp of approval on this client, and they will make sure that they are a good tenant. We have landlords that are willing to come and talk to anyone who is thinking about renting or partnering with us. So we want to help you, and we're asking for your help as well. So if you can, anyone that you know that might be willing to rent an apartment, or if any of you have some volunteer time, or any of you want to come to a meeting on May 10th where you can actually sit with us, some providers and some homeless individuals, and come up with some solutions and dialogue about solutions so we can kind of end this, because it's awful for all of us. Me, I hate looking at it. All of you hate it, and they hate it too. That's all.
So Dee, the meeting on May 10th, where is that? And
it is at Hillside Church.
Okay.
And it's
time?
10 a.m.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
And we're going to have food. Not always. I don't like to have a meeting without food.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. there anyone else that would like to offer comments or suggestions?
If I could give an update,
sure.
Just on, I'm our representative on the HSOC committee, which is the Homeless Services Oversight Committee, and just to echo, you know, what Dee says, we are all sorely lacking the housing, and we just are trying to look at this in any new way that we possibly can. In that vein, the City Council is going to hear a presentation at our next meeting on home sharing. And we're hoping that, you know, maybe some individuals can double up and that'll, you know, produce more housing for everybody, and hopefully it will trickle down to more people being housed. Also, as a member of HSOC, we've partnered with the Chamber and the City of Arroyo Grande, and we are going to be hosting what's called a MASH event May 24th at the South County Regional Center. And it's going to be open to all homeless people, because homelessness is not just sleeping outside. There are people in their cars or people couch surfing. And it's we are going to have 40 providers there. Because a lot of people I've spoken to, you say, well, why don't you work? You're an able-bodied person. Well, I lost my driver's license. My birth certificate was stolen. My Social Security card was stolen. Well, then, you know, you can't get a job. So you can come this day to the South County Regional Center. It's May 24th. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There'll be 40 providers there. You can leave with your birth certificate, Social Security card. There will be a lunch provided. There's going to be transportation. People are going to get hygiene kits, socks. There will be bike repairs. There will be vaccinations for pets. We are trying right now to organize a shower trailer. There will be haircuts. There's also a really interesting program, because many people living homelessly, they have lost touch with family or loved ones. And so after they get haircuts, they can get a Polaroid picture and send a letter home if they would like to reconnect. And that has actually really helped some individuals. There was a similar event. HSOC is hoping to host these events throughout the county, and the first one was in Paso last year, and 80 people participated, and the feedback was great. So we're going to host in South County in May, and there's going to be one in SLO in July, and we're hoping that this is another way that people can come, and the housing is still sorely lacking, but at least we can offer what there is to offer.
Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw, if you have any flyers or information that HSOC has prepared, if you can forward them to the police department, we can definitely, in our contacts with individuals out there, we can share that information with them through the flyer.
I will. Thank you.
Does anyone else on the council have any comments?
So just want to appreciate everybody's comments this evening and kind of piggyback on what Councilmember Shaw was saying and also for what Dee was saying as well, is it's always good to have food involved. Towards that end, there is a fundraiser coming up at Finn's on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, so which is a fundraiser where Finn's provides all the proceeds and all the tips and everything from the meals that evening towards helping the Five Cities Homeless Coalition as well. So. In addition to the MASH event, there's also other events coming up as well.
Okay. Anyone else? No. Okay.
Can I make one correction? I'm sorry.
Yes.
How many times is at noon, not 10 a.m.? Sorry. Noon,
hillside. I hope everyone's doing it. Okay. So sandwiches and not donuts, right?
There you go.
Okay. So, you heard me talk about earlier that really the chief had laid out some of the things, the actions the city is taking, and I think they've done a really good job, and as been pointed out here, so we'll continue to do those things, but really the next step is really trying to do things that are sustainable and that are long term. I don't know how long you've been in the community, but in February 2008 Grover took the lead and convened a meeting between the City Councils for the three cities, representatives from the Oceana Community Services District. We actually had the supervisors there, and this is actually and we took 3 hours. We heard from, similar to tonight, we heard from service providers. We heard from those people who are in need. And I know back then they had identified that they wanted something similar to a day center like Prado. And what happened then was we had gotten done and the county adopted a plan. They had a 10-year plan in homelessness. And I think we can all say that that's had mixed results on that. I don't want to be revisiting that, but really what we're going to be looking to do is take the lead again to have another meeting to purely vet this issue. The challenge we have here is I can tell you in Paso Robles, Mayor Martin, the mayors meet monthly, and so he has started an effort to get legislation to where they can utilize the vacant the youth authority facilities that are up there off of Highway 46 in Paso Robles. And so all the mayors have signed on to support that effort. And I know that addresses, you know, hopefully that would address North County because they have that kind of facility. We don't have something like that in South County, but it's really a matter of we need to have those discussions. Like I said before, this is an issue that's bigger than just Grover Beach. We need to make sure that everyone else is involved and we come up with practical solutions. And in the past, when we've tried to tackle this issue on a broader scale, we've had people who've come in and I think they've felt they were going to save the day. What we really are looking for are people who are willing to come in and be part of a collective solution. You know, we've talked about are there locations in parts of Grover Beach or in Oceano or in Pismo Beach. And so that's really the intent, is not only to find out truly what the need is, but to see what we can do collectively. So we're trying to be proactive and look long term. Clearly, that's not something that addresses the needs today. And I know Jenna talked about having the relationship with Good Samaritan and some of the other facilities. So they'll continue to do that. But when we got these meetings set up, we'll let you know. But I think going forward, like we've said before, if you see something, say something. Let the police chief know, let the council members know, so that we can be proactive. But we do see this as trying to find that right balance between everyone's rights to exist and folks who have invested in our community, whether they are residents or business owners, we take that very seriously. And so we will continue along the path. And I think anyone who was at the last meeting, I had asked the question that we were going to be a little more assertive in our methods. And what that really meant was that we could be subject to some challenges and whatnot. And I've said it all along, the funds that we use, it's not just the city council's money. It's not just city staff's money. It's all of our money. And as long as we understand that that's the approach we're taking and you're fine with that, the council will work with you and try and come to some positive results. So thank you for coming tonight. I know you probably were, I don't know if you were shy tonight or if you're going to submit a card or whatnot, but we still are open to your suggestions and your ideas because this is not something we can solve on our own. We really need your input. So I think with that, I don't know if the city manager has anything. City attorney? I see our fire chief has shown up. Chief Lieberman, do you have anything?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Chief Peters?
All good, sir.
Okay. So, do we want to try and I think we have time. We made a commitment to do this quarterly, so we'll work on finding another date probably this summer sometime, and if we need to do something sooner, we'll do that as well. Okay. All right. So if there's no other comments or questions, we're going to adjourn and let you all go and get dinner tonight because I don't think we brought food tonight, right? Anyway. Okay. Okay. We're going to adjourn the workshop.
May actually get to work tonight.
Wow. So we go to, okay.
Oh, thank you. Hi, how are you?